This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 142.
This podcast is brought to you by Generation UCAN, the revolutionary new way for runners to fuel. Try the new UCAN snack bars for sustained energy, protein, fiber, and fat to keep you full. Use the promo code MTASNACK and save 15% off of your order. That's MTASNACK. Welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast, where it's all about empowering you to run a marathon and change your life. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we recap the Lincoln Marathon in Lincoln, Nebraska. And for this episode's quick tip, Angie explains what to do if your race day turns out to be a hot one. And by hot, I'm referring to the weather. And to get our help in your training, find out how to become an official Academy member and train with us and our awesome online community when you visit marathontrainingacademy.com. Angie, how was your run this morning?
My legs were feeling pretty tired, so it was kind of one of those low energy get through it days.
How many miles did you get through?
4.5.
But I went out for a 4-miler this morning. Felt good. I'm ready to get some sunshine on my body, take my shirt off and run around the neighborhood a little bit.
Feel sorry for our neighbors.
Today we're talking about the Lincoln Marathon, bringing you one of our world famous race recaps. So excited to talk about this race. We had a good time and have lots of details for you, as well as some training tips to help you at your next marathon. Well, Angie, I think the verdict is in that our Boston recap part two was a success. People really liked it. So
yes, I have to admit that your recorder was wildly popular, so yeah. Now I'm stuck with it, folks. But I can refuse to answer questions.
Yeah, I know. Well, we took the recorder with us to Lincoln as well, so you're going to hear a little bit of that. But Angie, at some times, just got the recorder out, and she just refused to talk. So it just went over like a lead balloon. So
He's lucky he didn't lose it out the window as we were driving.
But there's still a lot. I got her to talk a little bit. And we also brought it to our MTA meetup and got to hear some great running stories. And you'll just have to wait and see. So what's going on out there in MTA land these days?
We've got some nice notes and emails from people in the community. The first one comes from Megan. She says, at the inaugural Pacific Northwest Marathon yesterday, I was going for a sub-5-hour time. They still haven't posted official times, but I know I ran under the timer at 4:55. I just checked my previous best, and it was 5:24, which means I PR'd by something like 30 minutes. This race had the benefit of being very flat, but I'm still pretty astounded, not to mention stoked. Thanks to the MTA community for all the wisdom and encouragement you offer up. It is very uplifting and inspiring, and thanks to Angie for the great training plan. When I follow it right, it works wonders.
Is she implying that she just sometimes doesn't follow it right?
I imagine there's people like you out in the audience.
Yeah, you're in the same boat as me. And but congrats, Megan, on that great finishing time, going sub 5. Sounds like she finished strong and is totally stoked. And I like when people use the word stoked. So keep up the good work.
That's right. This one comes from Erin. She says, I'm celebrating a personal best in Vancouver today. I met my goal for a sub 1:50 half marathon. The course was beautiful. The weather was perfect. And I felt awesome the whole race. What a great day.
Sub 1:50 half. That's running fast there.
That's right. She's one of my coaching clients and dealt with some sickness a few weeks before the race and just, you know, was really wondering what her performance was going to be like in Vancouver. But she was able to rest up and feel good on race day. So it was really exciting to hear that good report. And this last note comes from my coaching client, Pat. He says, Lincoln Marathon, official time, 3 hours, 57 minutes, and 44 seconds. This was about a 48-minute PR for me. I know I sound like a broken record, but thanks to you for training me and for Trevor for the background support, I ended the race very strong without bonking and under 4 hours, which was my goal. I even recovered rather easily, and I feel great. It means the world to me that you greeted me at the finish line. I was surprised and a bit embarrassed by my tears, but they just welled up from a heart full of gratitude to God and you and Trevor for all you've done for me over the past months. Please don't underestimate the power of a marathon to change a life. Mine sure is different. Now it's time to get busy and qualify for Boston. Who would ever have dreamed that this would be in reach of this 58-year-old grandpa? God bless and Godspeed, Pat. And he's from Texas.
Yes, and we got to hang out with Pat at the Lincoln Marathon, and you will be hearing from him later on the show. He's such a positive guy, and he really had a great weekend, you know, even though it was so hot there at Lincoln. His Texas blood, I guess,
prevailed.
Yeah. So, but just, you know, those words that we should never underestimate the power of a marathon to really change a life. I'm glad he said that. We've seen so many people now go through that process, and we've got to see that change, but it is just still exciting every new time we hear it, you know?
That's right. And, you know, I think sometimes the backstory we don't realize is that even though if your marathon or your first marathon didn't go according to plan, maybe it didn't live up to your expectations, it still does change you, and it really teaches you a lot about yourself and what you can overcome just through sheer determination and hard work. And Pat went through a series of injuries and had to work through those and just, you know, really was able to come back strong with this sub-4-hour finish. So if you stick with it, then great things can happen.
Well, let's go ahead and get into our feature segment, race recap of the Lincoln Marathon. And then at the end, we will give you some tips for how to deal with hot weather on the day of your marathon. All right, Angie, this might be the last race recap for a while because the next marathon we're signed up for is in October. And we might manage to slip a few more in between here and there, I hope. But this is a big one because we've been looking forward to going to Lincoln for a long time. And as many of you know, Angie's working on her 50-state goal. And when you go to Nebraska, how many options are there, you know? But we had our sights set on the Lincoln Marathon for a while, and we're finally happy to report that it's in the books. So now we want to tell you about this wonderful race. Hand that microphone over to Angie.
The microphone is actually stationary, but
figure speech.
Yes, the 38th running of the National Guard Lincoln Marathon was held on Sunday, May 3rd of 2015. And this race actually started back in 1978, my birth year, if I may add. So obviously good things happened that year in Lincoln, Nebraska, and it's organized by the Lincoln Track Club. And it's interesting that this race really has gained in popularity over the years to the current number of over 12,000 starters. And it also holds a distinction that few marathons do in that it sells out within a few hours. And I had found out last year that this race typically will sell out the first day that registration opens. So I think it was January 3rd, the beginning of this year, that registration opened, and I sat at my computer and quickly got us registered and was happy to get in. But they also offer 500 lottery spots where you can make a $10 donation to Project Purple, which is a charity that works to fight pancreatic cancer. So there's kind of that way that you can get in. At this race, they also host the National Guard Marathon Trials, where Army and Air Guard members who are representing each state and territory compete for positions on the National Guard Marathon team. So, you know, it was interesting. You saw people in their National Guard singlets out there running, competing really hard for those spots. Also of note, this marathon is one of the largest events put on completely by a team of 2,800 volunteers. So there's not a single paid position.
Wow.
So it's really a pretty neat race that goes on. And, of course, Lincoln is home to the state capital of Nebraska, and it's really a beautiful city. Everything was in full bloom the weekend we were there. Kind of per our family's tradition, we were able to tour the Capitol building. And from the upper levels, you can enjoy a nice panoramic view of the city. It was kind of fun.
Yeah. We always like to do something fun when we get to these cities, because we often take our kids to these marathons.
And educational.
Yeah,
since exactly. They were out of school for a day.
Yeah. So I've driven through Lincoln before, but I'd never stayed there. And when I Googled things to do in Lincoln, nothing really jumped out and grabbed me. But when we got to town, it's just hard to miss the state capitol because it's gigantic, right? It's like very, how would you describe it? Kind of new Gothic looking skyscraper. Goes straight up in the sky and this huge statue on top of maybe a farmer sowing seeds or throwing horseshoes. I'm not sure what he's doing. But I like state capitals. I like architecture, and it's a beautiful building. And it's very kind of dungeon-like in the bottom of it, very cavernous. And then we just sort of stumbled upon an elevator that would let you go to the 14th floor. This is how tall this building is. So this tiny little elevator, probably like built in the 40s, we got in and went to the 14th floor. And then from there, they have this observation deck, and there's no security that one has to go through. There's no, I never even saw a staff person once.
I know. You know? Just giving ourselves this self-guided tour.
In the good old honest state of Nebraska. So we went to the top of the Capitol, and you can walk all the way around the top of it. It's kind of narrow up there, but it's gorgeous. But anyway, my theory is that when the planners sat down to draw out the state capitol building, they had two ideas in mind. One, they had to build a state capitol, but two, they're thinking to themselves, we have nothing in Nebraska to attract tourists to our state. We need some kind of amusement park or theme park, right? You know, there's no Disneyland in Nebraska. So they're like, let's combine those two ideas. So they make this huge tower-like capitol that you can go to the top of. And I think originally in the plans, it probably had a slide to the bottom or maybe some bungee jumps.
That's the dumbest theory I've ever heard.
But I'm sure it couldn't get support in the Nebraska State House and Senate, you know, for the slide, the full slide and bungee jump. So they went with the tower. So it's a state capitol / tourist attraction all in one there in the great state of Nebraska. Angie, that's my theory.
It's a very long-winded theory.
You got to see it, folks.
So now you don't have to go there yourself. You've heard Trevor's complete description.
We had fun, though. It's a really clean city.
It was very nice. I was impressed. The Race Expo and Packet Pickup was located at the Cornhusker Marriott Hotel, and they had Packet Pickup both on Friday and Saturday before the race, and they also offered early morning race day pickup, so that's always nice for those who are, you know, maybe driving from a shorter distance. And you were required, of course, to know your race number and have an ID to get your packet, and we were actually in line, and we had an opportunity to meet Christy from Northern Nebraska, who's been a listener for 4 years. We were wearing our MTA shirts, and she kind of tentatively asked, are you Angie? And we always love when people say hi to us. And Christy was running the half marathon, and she was there with her dad at the expo. So meeting Christy at the expo was probably the highlight, because it was a very small expo, which of course made navigating packet pickup very easy.
Yeah.
And we got a nice technical race shirt as part of the packet, and then just spent a few minutes walking around. So a couple other pre-race events that they put on is a mayor's one-mile run for children around the state capitol, and then they have something called the Pasta-thon, which is a free carb-loading dinner for runners, their families, and volunteers. So I think it's pretty cool they offer that for free. Of course, we didn't attend this because we had the MTA meetup that evening, and we're not big pasta eaters anyways. But for those who like hitting pasta dinners, this one is free, and you can bring all your family.
So let's talk about the MTA meetup, which was Saturday night, the night before the marathon. We found a Mexican restaurant in the historic Haymarket District. I don't even remember the name of it off the top of my head.
It was so...
it was kind of underwhelming.
Yes.
But the people that we got to meet with, they made it fun. So we're delighted that we got to meet Pat Monica from Texas. Also got to meet Academy member Dan Savage and his wife Christine from Kansas City, as well as Sharon, another member from Kansas City, and her sister Teresa, who's from Nebraska. And we also got to meet Megan and her boyfriend Ignacio from Colorado. A lot of great folks there. Had a good time, you know, just sitting around eating chips and talking about all things running. How about we just take you there right now through the power of my digital recorder, much beloved now by all MTA fans everywhere since the Boston recap. We're going to go to the table of one of our exclusive MTA meetups.
Listen for the chips crunching.
Yes. Okay, we're at the MTA meetup having dinner with some very wonderful people that came to our meetup, and I'm just going to ask him a few questions here. We're with Megan Friesen from Colorado. I've asked Megan if she would say a word about why she started listening to the MTA podcast.
All right. I'm so honored to be talking to you, I have to just say. But I started listening to the podcast when I was living in Western Nebraska, and it was this tiny town, 8,000 people. There was a Walmart, but nothing else. And I was starting to train for my first half marathon, and I had no running community. No store, no group, no one I knew had ever done anything like that. And the friends and family I told that I was training for a half marathon, they really reacted like I was crazy. So I didn't really have anyone to ask questions of, and I didn't have anyone that was really a support on those long runs. And so I found the podcast, and I've just listened avidly ever since. So it became the community, and it became the support and the place where my questions were answered because I didn't have that in my community. So thanks for being there.
Well, thank you for those kind words, Megan. And you were saying that to actually see me, you've heard my voice over and over, but to actually see me now, it's a bit surreal. So I'm just hoping that my face doesn't disappoint. We also have Pat McCain here. He is one of Angie's coaching clients. All right, so Pat, why did you start listening to the MTA podcast?
Wow, I started listening to the podcast because I didn't think I had it in me to run another marathon. I had run actually two before, and in my training last fall, I just really couldn't break through the barrier of about 10 miles, and it just seemed really beyond my reach. So I did the web research and iTunes research and came across the podcast. And frankly, I related, Trevor, more to you than I did to Angie because of your frankness and transparency in the way you handled your training struggles. And so it really did inspire me, and it was a great thing to listen to on my long runs, but also some really good, helpful advice. And I decided to ask Angie to be my coach just because I wanted to raise my own personal fitness to a whole different level, not just my ability to run, but really how fit I was. And it really has paid off. And since then, I've ran three marathons, and tomorrow, number four.
All right. Okay, wait, I got to ask you now. How has gone, like, since hiring Angie as your coach? I hope this doesn't sound like a big commercial, but have you seen your times improve, or what were you going for, just to be able to run more, or to get faster, or to feel better at the end, or what was the deal?
Well, for me, I made like a really wild goal. I thought to myself, if I could get in shape to run one marathon, then why not just run three in a row and qualify for the Marathon Maniacs? And so that's what I did in October and November and December of last year. And since that time, after December, I came off a little injury, but with Angie's help and going into the marathon tomorrow, I really think I'll probably come close to shaving my running time at least by 45 minutes, if not an hour. So I'm really, really grateful.
Are you faster than me now?
I probably am. So and 20 pounds lighter. So
I'm going to have to take that out. Okay, he says he's 58. Awesome. Okay, now we're with Dan Savage. He and his family are from Kansas City, so fellow Missourian.
Right on.
So, Dan, why did you start listening to the show, and kind of tell us about your running journey?
My running journey started about 6 years ago. I had never ran in my life until I was 40. And then a cause came up to help stop sex trafficking, which was sort of my, I don't know, I had a, like an epiphany moment where I decided, you know what, I'm 60 pounds overweight. I need to do something about that. Let's marry these two ideas together. So the first year I literally just walked, did nothing but walk. The second year I ran, walked. The third year I started to actually run. And so it was sort of an evolution for me, going from really the couch, literally, to running a marathon. But really the genesis of it all was a cause to stop sex trafficking, which is still the cause that I have today. I'll be running tomorrow to support that cause as well. So through the process of that, I just typed into iTunes, marathon, and Marathon Training Academy came up, and I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. Let me check that out. And I was hooked pretty much from show one. So from there, I think I did my first half marathon when I started to listen to the Marathon Training Academy, and then a year or two later, my first marathon.
Yep. Any goals for tomorrow? How do you feel about it?
I felt pretty good until I heard about the weather, but I still feel very confident, which is something that I did not feel with marathon number one. I was very, very nervous. I just am not nervous with this one. I don't know why. I'm looking forward to getting out there and hitting the pavement.
Yeah. Awesome. You're going to do well.
Thanks.
Perfect, you guys. Wow, this is cool.
When you hear all the bells go ting-a-ling, all join round, and sweetly you must sing. And when the verse is through, in the chorus all join in, there'll be a hot time in the old town tonight.
All right, Angie, so let's talk about race morning and some of the things that happen, just right leading up to
the start of the marathon. Fortunately, we had a short drive from the bed and breakfast that morning, and I had not really scoped out where the starting line was or where to park, but we were able to park pretty close. The cool thing about big marathons is if you're not sure where to go, you'll always start seeing runners like streaming in one direction. So just follow the crowd, right?
That's right. Well, according to race information, there were several parking lots on the University of Nebraska-Lincoln campus, and there were some city parking garages, of which we parked in one of those. And then the parking meters were free on Sunday if you're lucky enough to get one of those spots.
Yeah.
So there were parking options, but someone did not scope those out. Anyway, we did get parked a little bit late, so I took off by myself to go find a bathroom. And I really found the bathroom situation a little bit dire. I mean, I didn't wander around the whole starting line area, but I really didn't find a lot of porta pots. I finally went inside one of the gymnasium buildings on campus that was open for runners to sit in pre-race, and I joined the bathroom line there. But of course, the women's restroom has about 50,000 people in line, it seems like. And so I finally managed to go and then get back to my corral about 3 minutes before the start time. So that was cutting it a little bit close, but I figured it's always better to go before the race than not.
Well, I got to the corral about 10 minutes before the start of the race, and the lines for the bathroom at that point were just so long, it was just futile to try to get in a line and wait. I'd be late. So, yeah, after having just drunk a whole coffee, I I started the race without visiting the port-a-john.
That's one thing that gets on my nerves, that there's not enough porta-pots at the start. But I will say one good thing is the marathon was very good about sending out pre-race information and communicating with runners, and we got several emails leading up to race day. In fact, as Sunday neared and it was looking like the weather was going to be very warm, they even sent out an email about the weather because the starting temp was mid-60s and it was supposed to climb into the 80s with wind and humidity that day. So they were warning people to take extra precautions for the heat. Now, the race started at 7 a.m., and they incorporated a wave start. So you were assigned a colored bib based on your expected pace. And the bibs also had your name on it if you wanted your name on your bib. And then they released approximately 1,000 runners about every 2 minutes. So since there were around 12,000 starters, the process took, I guess, around 40 minutes. And they did have pacing teams for both the half and full marathon. I thought it was good that they had a very organized start. It wasn't, mass chaos, and people were, for the most part, in their correct corrals. However, the course did have a 6-hour and 30-minute time limit, so it was only open till 1:30 p.m. And then if marathoners didn't reach the halfway checkpoint, which was just before mile 13, by 10:30 a.m., then they were directed into the stadium to finish as a half marathon participant. But I thought it was interesting because the slower corrals didn't get released until last. And so by the time they passed the start line, it would give them less than 6 hours to finish the whole race.
Yeah, they could have been like 20 minutes or 30 or more.
Or 40, yeah. So I thought it was kind of interesting that they enforce it so strongly, despite the fact that the people who need more time actually get less time.
Sure. And we work with a lot of slower runners back at the Packers, and there's just a lot of angst when it comes to these marathons that have a cutoff time.
Yeah, it's very scary. To train for the distance, to put in all the hard work, and then not even be sure that you're not going to be pulled off the course and not be able to finish or not be given a medal and all that kind of stuff.
So Angie's actually working together an episode about back of the pack runners.
That's right.
And it's kind of some of what they deal with. I ran at the back of the pack at the Marine Corps Marathon because of my ankle issue,
Right.
And that was like the conversation of everybody back there is, are we going to make the bridge in time?
Beat the bridge.
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely a lot of anxiety that goes into it. And it is interesting that Lincoln, the race is dominated by half marathoners with over 80% choosing that distance. So, I guess more of the focus is on the half marathon and definitely cleared out a lot once the half marathoners veered off.
Wasn't that fun, watching the half people veer off?
No, that's never fun. The aid stations were located about every 2.5 miles, and they provided water with something I'd never seen before. The water and Gatorade, they offered lids and straws for your cups, which was kind of interesting. I've never really drunk through a straw during a race before. And it's a little bit hard to get your fluid in, but it can be nice if you want to hang on to your cup and not have it slosh all over you.
I thought it was nice. I thought it was easier to drink on the run.
Really? I didn't really feel like I was getting sufficient volume. But I didn't spill it all over myself like I normally do, so.
They need bigger straws. They need like slurpy straws.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. I'm writing a negative review. A marathon guide.
Right.
You know how people like complain about the dumbest things. Sure. The straws were insufficient, and when I tried to suck water, it couldn't get a sufficient volume of water, which affected my pace by 3.9 seconds.
Hey, that's my excuse. So in addition to the water and Gatorade and the lids and straws, each aid station was staffed with a physician to assist runners, so I thought that was pretty cool. Hmm. And also they offered Vaseline and Band-Aids, and some of them had orange slices, gummy bears, and jelly beans. So they did provide some extras. Their porta-pots were located near the aid stations throughout the course, and fortunately there seemed to be a sufficient number of those. I didn't see any long lines. Maybe you can comment on that because you had to stop.
Yeah. Well, if you care about your time, don't do what I do, okay?
Mainline coffee and then not pee.
So since I didn't get a chance to go, I found the first porta potty that I could on the course, and there was no line. So maybe I beat the system. I figured out how to do it without finding a line. In fact, all three that I stopped at didn't have a line.
Amazing.
So, Angie, what do you think of the course and the experience of running through Lincoln?
Well, I thought it was really neat. The first half, obviously, was probably a lot more cool than the second half of the race. There was some local bands along the course during the half marathon, and we went through the downtown area by the Capitol building and through some really nice neighborhoods where I thought the spectators were out in really good numbers.
Yeah.
But I found it pretty amusing. I was reading a local news article after the race, and there was this anecdote in the newspaper. It said, about 30 minutes after the marathon started, police received a call that a woman wearing a purple shirt was banging on what was thought to be a trash can while encouraging runners. The man complained it was too early to be making such a racket. And they said, it must have been his first marathon. So I never thought about that. People who are trying to sleep in on a nice Sunday and awakened by a bunch of racket, people out in the streets.
It seemed to me that there was a lot of people in the streets. There were a lot of spectators, very creative signs, some bands, not a whole lot, although the polka police did show up.
Yeah, that was really funny. This guy with an accordion wearing like a police uniform and really short shorts.
Think like the policeman from The Village People.
Right.
That guy.
There were timing mats on the course at 5K, 10K, 15K, the halfway point, 25K, and the 20-mile point. So it's a great way to be able to track your splits, and they also had athlete tracking for friends and family so they could keep up with you along the course. And I found that the course was well marked, and intersections were controlled by law enforcement or volunteers. And like we alluded to, the course split off at the 12.8-mile mark for the full marathoners, and then, of course, the half marathoners finished at Memorial Stadium, and we had to trudge on by. And then the course went through an out and back on a bike path primarily and through some roads. So that was a little bit dreary. I kind of find out and backs to be somewhat demotivating. And, of course, the spectators had thinned out by that point and everything, too. The bike path was a little bit narrow in places and really didn't offer a whole lot of shade as the day heated up as it got later on. The course also had a few hills, but, you know, it wasn't really anything too challenging. So, you know, it was generally pretty good, considering, I guess, that most of the people just did the half marathon, then the full marathon course was adequate.
You know what was funny is that our half marathon times were similar. So we were running really close to each other, but we never saw each other the whole time.
I know.
Because we didn't start together.
No, we didn't. Yeah, that was very interesting. So, and we just goes to show that with that many people and, you know, being focused on running and the race experience, that even a very familiar person you may miss. I thought there was a couple of cool stories that came from the race. There was two kids that did the half marathon. There was a 12-year-old girl who ran the half marathon with a necklace containing her mother's ashes. Her mother, Lynette Ernst, had died of colon cancer in December of last year. So just a few months later, she was running for her mom, basically. And her dad said that she decided she was going to do this, and she put her mind to it. And she and her twin brother are both runners. But Sunday's half marathon was the longest distance she had run. So I thought that was pretty cool that, you know, a 12-year-old girl would run a half marathon in honor of her mom. And one of the main the charities, Project Purple, that was supported by the race, there was a lot of people out, you know, wearing purple and in support of cancer and everything. So pretty inspiring. Another interesting story was about the youngest participant, and his mother explained how it came to be that a 9-year-old was running the half marathon. She said, my son Drew was 7 years old when he started asking if he could run the Lincoln Half Marathon, and he didn't stop asking. At first I was thinking, no way is this kid going to commit to training for 12 to 16 weeks and run outside when it's cold. Then I started to think about how much determination he puts into everything he does. If he wants something bad enough, he goes for it. During the race, I had to hold back tears every time I heard his name called, since names appeared on the runner's bib, every high five he got, when other runners would tell him to go get it, Drew, and when spectators and runners would ask him how old he was. He would respond proudly with, I'm 9. And of course, there was the finish. He hit his first ever mental barrier at mile 9. A spectator was saying, 10 done, 3 strong. Not quite, but close. At mile 10, he asked how many more miles, and I told him 3.1. You would have thought I took his Kindle away. He put on his pouting face and complained, saying, but that guy back there said there were three left. Anyone who runs knows how much distance you have left is a big deal. I told him we were heading into the home stretch, and when he made the turn onto 10th Street, he smiled. You see, his initial reason for wanting to run the Lincoln Half is because he could finish on the 50-yard line inside Memorial Stadium. He had his goal. I had mine, to get him across the finish line no matter how long it took. And both were accomplished. We finished in 2 hours, 39 minutes, and 35 seconds.
I remember what it was like just trying to get our two oldest boys through a 5K.
I know. Yes. Yeah, it's just amazing. You know, some kids are just really built with that inner drive, and
yeah, that's
wow,
awesome.
It's very impressive. Like you said, we have a couple boys around that age, and yeah, you can't make a kid run a half marathon.
No, they have to be motivated. It reminds me of Nicholas Tuchek, who we had on the show earlier this year, and this is a kid who runs marathons at, how old is he, 11?
Right.
So, neat story, Angie. I'm glad you found that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And like we've talked about, both the half and full marathon finished at the 50-yard line in Memorial Stadium. So, and prior to entering the stadium, there was a camera and like a big screen. So your image was recorded so spectators inside could see you coming toward the finish line. And later the race also sent out links where you could see the video of your finish. That was pretty neat.
So Memorial Stadium is on the campus of the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. Football is huge. Everywhere you go in Lincoln, there's a giant red N, you know, and people were in red.
Right.
The colors of the team. And the stadium, it's just really impressive. And to be able to run into that, I thought was really neat. Friends and family were allowed in a section of the stadium and could look down into it as the runners were coming in. In fact, the runners would go right underneath kind of like the sky deck section of the stadium where friends and family would sit.
Cool.
The boys and I were sitting there waiting for you to finish, and you ran right under us, but we yelled your name, but you didn't even look back.
I was too focused. The male winner for the marathon was Edward Tabut of Kenya, who trains in Minnesota. He finished in 2 hours and 27 minutes. Kelly Herrick of Iowa was the first woman in 2 hours 43 minutes. For the half marathon, Katie White was first in 1 hour and 18 minutes. And apparently she lost steam around 600 yards from the finish line and had to stop and catch her breath and kind of regroup and then finish as first place. And Sammy Rodich, who lives in Des Moines, was the first male in 1 hour and 6 minutes.
And Trevor finished in 1 hour and 54 minutes.
You?
Yes, I am talking about myself in third person. Definitely not my fastest half marathon time, but I was going for a sub 2 hour, and in spite of 3 bathroom stops, I was able to achieve it.
Very good.
But being out there for those 2 hours with that heat and that sunlight, because a lot of times there's just no shade, I kind of had a sun headache afterwards. I think I had to take some ibuprofen later that day because I was just kind of baked. My eyes felt like they were baked. You know?
Imagine being out there twice as long.
I know. So, Angie, tell us about your experience. You just done Boston 2 weeks before this. So how are you feeling going into it?
Well, I think my recovery post-Boston was going really well, but I still felt fatigued maybe going into this marathon. I think just because of, you know, all the travel when we were in Boston, and we hadn't been home for much more than a week. And, you know, I had to get home and catch up on a lot of work stuff and then get ready for this trip and, you know, taking the kids with us and everything. I just kind of felt tired.
And then you didn't sleep well the night before.
Oh, yeah. Let's not even talk about that. It was ridiculous.
The bed we had was really creaky.
And my sound machine was malfunctioning as well, which was worse.
Yes.
And we were also in the midst of packing and moving my mom, which was taking a lot of extra time and energy. So it just seemed like there was kind of multiple stressors going on. Anyway, and then the reports of warm weather on race day made me nervous too, because anyone who's listened to this podcast knows that I'm a warm weather weenie.
Yeah.
So looking at my splits, there wasn't any nice pacing like there was in Boston. I think I stayed between an 8:30 to 9 minute pace through the halfway point. Like I said, we were pretty close to each other for most of the race as far as our time goes. But then by 25K, I had faded to a 9:44 pace. And then I was at about a 10:15 pace from mile 20 to the finish.
Oh, you really faded.
I really faded. It was
like a rocket.
It was a positive split, to be sure. I guess my strategy was to get as far as possible before the weather got too warm, because I knew that I didn't perform well in heat. So I just wanted to like get as much of the race out of the way before it got too warm.
That's
so I
smart.
Guess that's kind of why I started fast. But I was already feeling overheated by mile 7, so it was challenging.
When I finished and I finally got in some shade, I didn't have any appetite at all, and I kind of felt like nauseous, like I might have was going to throw up. And I saw people throwing up.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't eat any food. All I had was water.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a lot of great post-run food, but I passed it all up.
Yeah, it was tough out there. But one cool experience on a hot day was seeing an MTA listener named Brian out on the course around mile 15. Hmm. He passed me like I was standing still. So good job, Brian. He's like, hey, I love the podcast. Keep up the good work. I was like, wait. No, I didn't. I also got to see my coaching client, Pat, who was running with the 4-hour pace group on an out and back. And then MTA member Dan was out there as well. I got to see him. But by mile 16, I was really starting to see warm weather carnage out on the course. People were slowing down. There were several getting medical care along the course. There was like people curled up on the ground, like clutching their legs, and kind of seeing that really sobers you. And I decided not to continue pushing my pace and just instead focus on finishing on my own 2 feet. So the rest of the race included taking some walk breaks, being careful about my hydration, taking any ice there was available to suck on, and I put some in my sports bra, and I was rubbing it on my face and my neck to try to cool myself down. And around mile 20, there was a lady I'd been leapfrogging throughout the morning, and she was just kind of staggering along. So I slowed down to a walk, and I asked if she was okay, and she's like, this sucks. I didn't want to like get into like a hate spiral with her, but I was like, yeah, it's a tough day with this heat and everything. She's like, I just didn't train for this, you know, weather. It was cold all winter. And so I kind of just encouraged her to start using ice and listen to her body and take it slow because, you know, it was rough out there. I guess 29 people ended up being taken to the hospital with heat related issues, and many more received on the course treatment.
Wow.
So it's definitely sobering when you see runners hooked up to IVs or being loaded into ambulances, knowing that they probably started the day feeling good and they were going to have a great race. And it definitely reminds you that races are for fun and should not be a risk to your health. So,
wasn't there like a fateful Chicago Marathon a couple of years back where they had to call the whole thing off, but it wasn't until
later into the race? Yeah.
Yeah. Later in the race. They had run out of water at the aid stations, and didn't somebody die even?
Yeah, I think there was at least one person that died. So yeah, it can be serious stuff, that's for sure. I mean, the LA Marathon was really hot this year, so you just don't really know what you're going to get, and especially going into spring races when most people have trained in cooler conditions, it can be really tough. So it's important to be smart.
And that's why we want to talk about in this episode's quick tip, how to safely run hot weather.
Right, definitely.
So how did you fuel for this race?
I used UCAN before and then during the race.
So even though your pace slowed down, you know, and you're exhausted because of the heat, how did you feel your energy levels maintained?
Yeah, my energy felt fine. I mean, I think if I wasn't feeling overheated and dizzy, I would have been able to have a better experience out there.
Well, it's good on a day, you know, when there's other things to worry about, that you don't have to worry about your fueling strategy, you know, because you have it down. You've now used the same strategy, you know, using UCAN for multiple marathons and have done well on it. So
yes, I'm very thankful that it came along when it did, and think for people out there who are looking for a good fuel source for their endurance exercise, you should definitely check it out and check out the new UCAN snack bars as well, which are becoming a new favorite of ours.
I'm telling you, folks, they're the best energy bars that I've ever had.
If you like peanut butter and chocolate, then they're the way to go.
If you're feeling like your energy is kind of slumped mid-afternoon, you just need a little pickup.
Don't hit the vending machine.
That's right.
And if you're hungry going into a workout, let's say you run or exercise in the evening, having a UCAN bar like an hour ahead of time can really help hold you off as far as keeping your energy levels stable and curbing your hunger so that you can get through a solid workout without having to eat and have all that weighing in your stomach first.
So use the promo code MTASNACK, save 15%, and you can also find a link to the new You Can snack bars over on our website.
I finished in 4 hours, 7 minutes, and 2 seconds. And honestly, even though I wanted to finish sub 4, I was just very happy to be done. And it was my 32nd marathon and 26th state overall. And the highlight of the day was being able to see my coaching client, Pat, finish his first sub 4-hour marathon with that awesome PR. And we read his email previously. And I knew that he was coming with a 4-hour pace group. So I grabbed some water and then went back to the finish line and was able to watch him cross and go up and give him a hug and kind of just, you know, celebrate with him a little bit. That was just really exciting.
And in the meantime, I had gone back to the place we were staying and got the kids and grandma, and we made it back to the finish line, and we watched you cross, and we watched Pat, and then we all met back up at the family reunite area, where I kind of got to debrief you and Pat about your race. Let's go to that moment right now with the recorder and hear from Angie and Pat at the finish line.
All right, we are in the family meetup area with Angie and with Pat McCain, who you guys heard from earlier. Pat, how did the marathon go today?
It went actually awesome. For the first time, I ran with a pace group.
Yeah.
I ran with the 358 pace group, and the pacer was absolutely phenomenal. And they did this thing called smart pacing, where they know the layout of the course, so they don't do a consistent pace, but they do the right pace for the terrain that you're going over.
Nice.
And it was absolutely great. And frankly, this was the first time in the last 4 marathons that I hadn't bonked at mile 20.
Nice.
But I ran strong all the way through the finish line. Felt like I still had a lot left in me, and made my goal under 4 hours. So
awesome.
Personal PR again.
So a PR of how many minutes?
Probably about 45. So that's
wow.
Pretty awesome. And a lot of thanks to Angie, and she's just been a great coach for me, and really helped ramp up the level of performance, really by teaching me how to not just run, but to get the strength in my legs and do the core stuff. And
yeah.
It was a great, great race, great experience.
If I was you, I'd be looking for a place in the shade to sit down. But you're standing here with no problem, and you look like you have even energy left, you know. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I really do. It was a great race, and I really love the fact that I could finish a race and totally not feel wiped out.
Yeah.
And so, first time in a long time. So, and a hot day, too.
A hot day. And that's how it ought to be done. Right on, Pat.
Yep.
High five. Here we go. All right, Angie, come here. How'd it go today? I know it was, like, really hot out here. We're still standing in the sun. How do you feel?
It was brutal, to be honest. It was one of those... it started getting really hot about mile 7, and it just got worse.
Mile 7, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't do well with hot weather, and...
I can smell you from right here.
Thank you. I'm sure I smell like roses, right? I was dumping water on myself, putting ice in my sports bra, just anything I could think of to stay cool, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, me and the heat are not best friends, but I was very happy to see the finish line, and it was kind of one of those marathons where I thought, I don't really care what my finish time is as long as I finish in one piece without, you know, spontaneously combusting.
Did you hear us? When we were standing right above where people come into the stadium, we were calling your name. You didn't even turn around, though. You didn't hear us?
I don't know. It was just all kind of a blur at that point. I just saw the finish line. It was like, must get across the line and get water and get cool. So it was one of those races where there was a lot of carnage on the side of the road, you know, people getting IVs and getting loaded into ambulances. So
man.
just finishing in one piece on your own feet is really a blessing in that kind of situation, because, you know, many people aren't that lucky. So
yeah.
So and it was, you know, I was just so happy and proud of Pat that he finished and made his goal, that I didn't really care about my own time.
Yeah. All right, kiss.
My baby, please, oh, please, oh, do not let me fall. You're all mine, and I love you best of all, and you must be my gal, or I'll have no gal at all. There'll be a hot time.
Okay, Angie, so let's talk about post-race happenings. Everyone looked just glad to be done, you know?
Yes. I think that was the general mood, just relief and ready to collapse. As you come into the stadium, the finish lane splits between the half and full marathon. I did find it a little bit narrow because there's another lady and I running in the full marathon shoot, But it was so narrow at some points, there was no way I'd get around her. And she was going slower than I would have liked, but I just kind of had to stay behind her and then break around her at the final stretch. But it was cool. They had your name and I think your hometown that flashed up on the screen when you came across the finish line. And they had a new design for the medal this year. Unfortunately, it was the same medal for the half and full. I always find that a little bit annoying. But it's a very nice medal, a very nice ribbon. And
I like it because I only did half the work and got the same medal.
That's why I don't like it. No, it was very nice. They also had a great food area inside the stadium where you could hang around and cheer other runners or stretch. And there was also a massage area, too. The food and beverage offerings were water. They had soda. They had a sports drink. I think they had chocolate milk. There was cookies, soup, bagels, oranges, bananas, and chips. So they had really quite a nice spread. And they also offer a post-race celebration and awards ceremony that was held in the Champions Club. And apparently there was a light lunch consisting of sandwiches and salads, chips and cookies and cake that began at 11 a.m. And then they had an awards ceremony at 12:30. And this was open to runners and families and volunteers, but we didn't make it over there because we had the whole family with us and we were kind of hoping to get a shower before we had to check out. I thought some interesting statistics from the marathon was that the average full marathon finish time was 4 hours and 25 minutes and 18 seconds. And the number of women finishers was 451. Number of men finishers was 696. So there was a total of 1,147 full marathoners. On the half marathon side, the average finishing time was 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 7 seconds.
Well, my mom has always told me that I'm above average.
Apparently she's right. Number of men who finished the half marathon, 3,270. Number of women, 5,493. So there was a total of 8,763 for the half. So it was kind of interesting, the breakdown there between both races. After the race, we walked back to our car and we ate at the Chipotle downtown. And then we were able to drive a bit that day and we stayed at the Kansas City location of the Drury Hotel the night of the race and were able to relax and enjoy some downtime.
Yeah, that's right. It's like a 9-hour drive to Lincoln for us. And we have to go right through Kansas City. So we actually stayed at the Drury Hotel twice, once on the way out there and once on the way back. And the Drury Hotel Company is actually a sponsor of ours and have been for a few years. We really appreciate them. And the cool thing about that hotel is they give you, you know, a great breakfast in the morning, but they also have free evening food.
And drinks.
Yeah, so we're always hustling to get there before
it's like,
before it ends.
We can feed our whole family.
Yeah.
It's nice if you're traveling, then you only have to buy lunch, you know, really, if you want to. So it really is an added benefit. And of course, the rooms are always clean and comfortable and need a hotel. The Drury is definitely a great option.
That's right. You can get a special rate and also help support the show by clicking through the link on our homepage. So that's our recap of the Lincoln Marathon in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm sure we'll never do it again. not because we didn't like it. It was an awesome race and we definitely recommend it. But
yes, it's a great, great Nebraska marathon.
Since Angie's trying to get a marathon in every state, we are not really repeating marathons. So big thanks to the many volunteers at the Lincoln Marathon that made it possible. And also it looks like they partner with the National Guard because it's officially called the National Guard Lincoln Marathon, right?
That's right. And many of the volunteers along the course at aid stations were National Guard members. So definitely that's very much appreciated.
Well, now it's time for this episode's quick tip. And as you heard us talk about the carnage there on race day because of the heat, we thought it would be good to share some tips about running in hot weather. If you happen to get to a marathon and it's going to be a hot one, what are some things that you should consider, you know, kind of just to keep yourself safe and keep yourself going?
It is important to figure out how you're going to adjust to the warmer conditions and still have a good experience during the race as well. So, you know, maybe you have a race coming up and you notice that as you're checking the 10-day forecast, like I'm sure many people out there do, that suddenly the temperatures are not looking as good. And to your growing horror, you see that the temperature is going to be very warm on race day. We've talked about there have been a few notable races that were hot this year already. And since it takes approximately 2 weeks of training in warmer conditions for your body to acclimate, most people don't have time to really adjust properly pre-race.
That's a good point. So we definitely weren't adjusted.
No. I mean, it's going to get way hotter here this summer, but
sure.
Just going from winter training to a warm spring race can be quite the transition. And any temperature above 60 degrees Fahrenheit requires your body to work harder at cooling itself while you're running. If you add in humidity, this can decrease the evaporation of your sweat, which adds to your perceived level of heat. So if you're unused to running in warm conditions, it's very unlikely that you'll be able to PR at a warm weather race. Unless you're Pat, who trains in Texas, you know, so there you go. But you can still have a good and safe experience if you follow a few simple guidelines. And I thought it was interesting, a Runner's World article talked about some French researchers who were analyzing the finishing times of 1.8 million marathoners over a 10-year period. And they found that race day temps of 43.2 degrees Fahrenheit produced the quickest times overall. So that's something to keep in mind if you're trying to choose like a BQ race or a race to PR at. It said, but faster runners who generate more heat benefited from even cooler temperatures, with the top 1% peaking at 38.9 degrees Fahrenheit. And it said mid-packers do the best in the mid-40s. So I thought that was pretty interesting. 60 to, you know, low 80s doesn't feel bad if you're just out there standing around, but if you're running in it, it's definitely going to decrease your performance. So I guess our tips for warm weather races are, number one, to manage your expectations. This is going to be time to go with your plan B and your race strategy. You'll need to pace yourself more conservatively and also carefully monitor how your body is responding. And this is a time to run by effort. So don't be afraid to take walk breaks if you notice yourself starting to overheat. Your heart rate is increased during warm weather, so any signs of shortness of breath, dizziness, or extreme thirst should be taken seriously. And if you have any pre-existing medical conditions, then any signs of dehydration, heat exhaustion, and heat stroke can even be more dangerous. So be sure to seek the help of race medical stations for any signs of trouble. And don't wait until you're feeling really awful, you know. Try to get help at the first signs that you're having trouble. And don't try to be a hero and just power through. It could be that cooling down for a few minutes will enable you to be able to finish the race just fine. The second tip is to dress for the conditions. As a general rule, you need to wear light-colored technical gear that allows for some decent airflow so your body can breathe. If the morning starts off a bit chilly, then put on a throwaway shirt, which is preferable to wearing a long-sleeve running shirt that you'll have to keep with you the whole race.
There are some people out there with compression gear on.
I know. Well, I'm guessing they were half marathoners.
Yeah, they must have been.
Because I saw people that were like stripping down to the bare minimum during the marathon. And of course, a hat is very important to keep the sun out of your eyes, keep the sun off your head, and of course, wear waterproof sunscreen to avoid getting burned. The third tip is proper hydration and electrolytes. So be sure to go into the race well hydrated and take an electrolyte tablet or two pre-race. But too little and too much fluids can both be dangerous, so you want to avoid either end of that spectrum. So just make sure you're taking in water and electrolytes in small, regular amounts. As a general rule, you don't want to consume more than 24 ounces of fluid in an hour, because that can cause overhydration where your body gets too low in sodium, which can be dangerous. Things like sucking on ice can actually help regulate your thirst and be good for cooling your body between aid stations. So that might be something, if the race offers that, to take advantage of. And then be sure to continue hydrating post-race as well. You know, even though you're not exercising anymore, your body needs to regulate its fluid balance again. The fourth tip is to stay cool. A good strategy during warm weather races is to consume some water at the aid stations and then dump the rest on your head. You know, so if you're wearing a hat, lift up the hat, dump the water on there, put your hat back on. If they offer ice, carrying some in a small cup can be very helpful. You can suck on a piece. If you're a woman, put it in your sports bra. Rub it on your face, the back of your neck, just anything to allow your skin temperature to cool down. And I was definitely icing myself down as much as possible. I thought during the 8A marathon in Oklahoma that we did last year, they did a really good job of providing cooling options for runners. It was a warmer day there, and they had sponges so you could, you know, put cold water and drizzle water over your body. And they also had cold towels. You could put them around your neck to really help with cooling.
Nice.
So they did a really good job there. And then, of course, take advantage of any shade on the course, too. If you can have the option of running in the shade versus in the full sun, then, of course, take the shade. During the Missoula Marathon in Montana, many homeowners turned on their sprinklers for people to run through. So that can be an option as well. I did run through a couple of sprinklers during the race, and it was just like, Ah, that initial shock, but it felt really good.
Yeah, they could have used that at the Lincoln Marathon. Maybe the fire department could have just like opened up a couple hydrants.
You know, or washed the runners away.
Let runners stick their heads in them, you know. I would have done it for sure.
Yes, I thought that, especially on the later end of the course, having the aid stations, you know, more than 2 miles apart, it was getting a little bit challenging. They did have some ice and stuff in between, but you definitely need to make sure that you're staying cool whatever way you can. And then finally, be careful about consuming alcohol, ibuprofen, and large amounts of caffeine pre-race. These products can lead to higher risk of dehydration, electrolyte imbalances, and also kidney problems. So just a word of warning.
Well, Angie, that's great. Thank you for those tips. And, you know, ideally, we try to avoid hot races, but...
You never know.
Still nothing as bad as the Tupelo Marathon in September. Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yes.
Remember, there was like 70 degrees at 5 in the morning at the start of the race?
It was more than 70 degrees, I think. And it's humid. Whew. Yeah, that one was...
And hilly.
That was challenging.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to the MTA Podcast. We appreciate everyone's support. A big word of welcome to some new Academy members. Nick from Nebraska, Ryan from Indiana, Javis from New Mexico, Peter from Massachusetts, Jenny from Texas, Deanna from Tennessee, Melissa from New York, Anne from Texas, Jill from the UK, Scott from Delaware, Rob from British Columbia, Carmel from California, Steve from Kentucky, Tracy from Minnesota, Janine from New Hampshire, and Eileen from Edinburgh in the UK. It's a privilege to have these folks training with us, and we're looking forward to watching their progress. So stay strong, keep running, and we will catch you on the next episode. As always, we want you to remember, you have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life.